Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, Tuesday, the 8th of May, 1945, marked the end of the horror of Nazi rule in Germany. But for many people in the eastern part of that country, this did not mean relief from the coercive powers of government. For them, the Gestapo merely made way for the Stasi. And when Germany reunified in 1990, there was no equivalent to the Nuremberg trials. So what happened to these German secret police? Ralf Hope is a former FBI agent and author of The Grey Men, Pursuing the Stasi into the Present. And he joins us now. Ralf, how are you today?
Very good, thank you.
So tell me, the Stasi, you know, coming after the Gestapo have a pretty fearful worldwide reputation. Were the Stasi honestly as bad as that?
It's actually two different things. Of course, the Gestapo were very bad. They were a driving force behind the Holocaust and the destruction that occurred within Germany and throughout Europe and the world. They lasted about 12 years. The Stasi lasted about 40 years and spent that time directing most of their energy inwards towards their own citizens. And it was quite unprecedented, even when compared to other Eastern Bloc security services. And it's also unprecedented that they continued efforts since then to rewrite history.
Were they to a degree under the influence of the Soviet Union, because the Soviet Union had conquered that part of Germany? Were they kind of really acting on orders from Moscow, so to speak?
Well, the Stasi had two masters. They were quite aware of that. They were very independent when compared to other Eastern Bloc secret police services because they were Germans. They were not KGB officers brought into other countries, as is what happened in many other places in the Eastern Bloc. Of course, they worked hand in hand with the KGB. They worked hand in hand with the Soviet other security services. And their other master was the primary master was the East German communist state. Their main goal was to take whatever action was required to ensure the survival of that communist state.
What kind of actions did they take? How pervasive were they?
Well, quite pervasive. They were at the end of 1989, when things fell apart, the wall fell, and the Eastern Bloc crumbled. They had about 100,000 employees. Most of those were officers. At that time, Western intelligence services, including the United States, all severely underestimated the strength. It was estimated that they had about 25,000 members, which still would have been an overwhelming and quite outrageous number compared when you look at the size of East Germany. So they, because of their size, they were able to penetrate all levels of society. And because of their use of informants, which even made it even more persuasive, they were able to nearly approach one of their stated main goals, which was to simply know everything.
Right. That must have created an incredible climate of fear. You mustn't have been able to trust anybody you were talking to at any time.
Well, you know, husbands informed against wives, children against parents, brother against sister. When the wall fell, there was close to 200,000 active Stasi informants, both inside and outside of Germany, and approximately 10,000 of those were children.
Wow. What were the consequences for people who got out of line?
Well, there's several things. They simply could pull you off the street and lock you up, which the Stasi did to about 280,000 people who were imprisoned, mostly for political offenses. Or if you didn't quite rise to that level, but they wanted to destroy or sidetrack your life, they could do it in any number of ways by merely making a comment to a school who would then deny you entrance, or to an employer, or play various types of psychological games, their end goal was to render you ineffective, to render you as someone who would not threaten the state.
Right. I heard of one term from the German, it meant decomposition. What would that involve?
That's exactly that. They would make you through a variety of methods would make you somebody who couldn't threaten the state, would not be in a position of trust, would not be somebody that would be credible. They would use various methods to make you appear uncredible or even crazy. They would prevent you from succeeding in life.
Right.
And therefore, in their mind, they would protect the state.
Right, and you'd be destroyed in the meantime. How about the more extreme end? Were many people executed or tortured?
You know, the Stasi, generally, there were people that were terrorized, kidnapped, and murdered, or in some cases, you know, taken from the West and brought back to the East. They were not, they didn't line people up and you know, execute wholesale numbers of people because they didn't have to. Their goal was a little bit different. Their goal was to simply control all aspects of society and to control everything from when the child started going to school when he was young, and all the way up until you were employed and you left your employer. And if you tried to travel outside the communist bloc to control that, tightly control that, and they were quite successful. They were probably the most successful of any Eastern Bloc secret police service in penetrating and controlling society.
Right. And then when the wall fell, did that more or less, that whole world of theirs, come to an end overnight?
Well, you know, that was what the image that they wanted to project, frankly. The image they wanted to project is that, look, they were all kind of older, you know, guys that had served their country and they went off to collect a pension. That was it. The reality was quite different. The majority of the 100,000 were quite young, under 50, very highly skilled, very well educated, and very ambitious and very motivated. And so they went on in many cases, not all cases, but many cases to continued success by creating companies, being involved in politics, and being involved in the Russian energy machine, and creating support organizations to support, continue to support the Ministry for State Security or the Stasi members up until even today.
Right. And amongst the West and West Germany in particular, was there not a desire to seek out those who had done the most harm? I presume in the East of Germany as well, there would have been people who'd have extreme interest in seeing these people being prosecuted.
Well, there were two aspects. One is the Stasi had a foreign service arm that collected intelligence, and the Western services, especially the United States, actually was able to obtain information about people that had been cooperating with the Stasi, even in the United States. And there were prosecutions and convictions. In Germany, it was a different story. In Germany, there were many that that saw during the end of the World War II how many of the Nazi officials kept popping up in German society years later. And many in Germany were quite sure that that would not happen for the Stasi, that there would be accountability. They were disappointed. There were thousands of investigations started in the early 90s about Stasi excesses, very few prosecutions, even very fewer convictions, and as far as I could find, only one former Stasi member who ever went to prison for something he did in the Stasi.
And why was that? Was that just a lack of appetite for it in the West, or just wanting to move on?
Well, it was initially the rush towards unification, unify the two countries. But it was also fear, because the files that the Stasi had were so you know, threatening to many people, that I think there was fear as to, you know, there were many of those files that were missing. And the third thing was is that the Germans wanted, and in Europe, you know, after that period, everybody wanted privacy that was denied to them for generations. And so specific privacy laws were passed. And the Stasi in the 90s and 2000s, and even to today, have successfully used those privacy laws to hide behind, and in some cases to continue once again to victimize the victims.
In what way can they victimize the victims?
by making it difficult or impossible for a victim to speak up, by using the laws within Germany that prohibit even disseminating lists of Stasi officers so they are able to successfully keep that from public view, to basically continue to try to reinvent their image while keeping the victims quiet.
Right.
And that's how they continue to victimize people.
And is there any appetite at all now for going after them at this point, or are people just content to let them fade away?
Well, I think that what's happening is that there is many in Germany and throughout Europe, and certainly the United States, don't have an idea of that what actually happened after the wall came down, and how these Stasi members and organizations have prospered.
Okay.
And it's very difficult to find out information within Germany, because people are reluctant to speak, because if they do speak publicly, then things happen. They get death threats still. They get people showing up to protest. And so it's very, very difficult to have that. And that's why there are no memorials in Germany to the victims of communism, or certainly not to the victims of the Stasi. Every time that's tried, there's organized resistance.
Wow. Ralph, fascinating insight to where the Stasi went next, basically. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.